This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
I just called you off, didn't I? You were ready to start and I called you off. This is Brian Neal, the Advanced Selling Podcast.
Bill Caskey, Advanced Selling Podcast, the senior member.
I didn't tell you this. One of our listeners, and I couldn't find it earlier, one of our listeners sent me a little LinkedIn invite, put a little personal message in there, and said, "Too bad Bill always interrupts you."
You're kidding me.
And I thought I interrupted you. So maybe he's got us confused. Oh, wow. You don't interrupt me, do you?
I didn't think I did.
I can't see, and I deleted it. It's one of my new connections. I couldn't figure out who it was. Whoever linked into me and said, "Too bad Bill always interrupts you."
I just did it. Hey, wait. I heard, I was on my way to Cincinnati to see my client over there the other day, and there was a guy named Doc Thompson on WLW Radio. He reads the weird headlines of the day.
Yeah.
And he had one, and I thought it was funny. Man armed with sledgehammer shot to death. I love that.
Boom.
Man armed with sledgehammer. Ba-da-da-da. Let's see. I had another one.
You do a lot of damage with a sledgehammer.
You can. Oh, did you hear about
especially if the other guy's not looking.
Did you hear about the British Airways flight where they were? It was 3 a.m. and they were going over the ocean, flying over the continent, and all of a sudden
it's kind of not funny. It's not funny,
but nobody got hurt. Right. So we talk about those.
Yeah, right.
All of a sudden, 3 a.m. everybody's sleeping. Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. We will be going down in the ocean. We will be crash landing in the ocean. God. Please prepare. Blah blah blah.
Could you imagine what went through everyone's mind when that plays, right? And then imagine what went through everyone's mind when they realized it was an accident, right?
But the pilot, didn't the pilot come on and say, "Oh, never mind.
Now we're good. I think we're going to make it. I can see lights. I think we're good. Just hold on." Holy smoky, that's funny.
Talk about communication process here.
Seriously, that's very funny. Okay, topic.
The topic is, as we said a couple weeks ago, we like to take real-life questions that come from our clients and come up with new ideas, new ways to solve old problems, basically, is kind of the game we're in. And I had a couple of things happen a couple days ago that were the same theme. And the theme is, this client of ours had spent a lot of time going out and generating a new piece of business.
Yep.
And a lot of energy and a lot of resources go into that. And this, the clients that we're working with in this case are, these are large companies. So it takes a long time to become a client. But the problem is, then once they get the business, they were off trying to get the next client.
Right.
And yet the real potential wasn't the first order in their world. It was the subsequent orders. It was all the other potential in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, a lot of times we hand that over to an account management team to grow. And yet the account management team, really, a lot of times they're not in growth mode. So we've been talking a little bit about this theme of, are we really leveraging the relationships as best we can? The relationships we have with our clients or with our strategic partners, are we really doing all we can? And I think sometimes we salespeople don't look at it the right way. We look at it more from a, well, they're a client, check on to the next client. And we probably should be spending a lot less time pursuing new clients and a lot more time strategizing and developing better relationships.
Yeah, and there's someone that I'm friends with on Facebook and follow in the social media world named Ted Rubin, and highly recommend you go check out Ted in the social media sphere. And he's actually trademarked this word, which I think is brilliant, which he calls return on relationship, ROR, return on relationship. And he's really trying to drive his company and people in this world of the internet, marketing, and social media back to really creating relationships with people, not this mass quantity, get as many followers as you can, but really having a dialogue. And he's the kind of guy that responds back to you when you, if you follow him or if you're friends with him on Facebook, good with connection, and always thinking about return on relationship. And that's something that I think that salespeople just don't even consider sometimes, is the return on relationship is so much easier, usually,
it is,
and so much greater than the return on going and finding a new customer. Yet we go into that default, that hunter mentality that so many salespeople have that says, okay, good, you got that one. Go get another one, right? Go get three this time. And we get three, go get five. And we continue down that. So let's take the one we have and make it as good and healthy and strong
exactly.
as possible. Right?
And chances are you're going to get more referrals from that person anyway. We always talk about how important referrals are. And yeah, the referrals, then what do? We just go out and ask for them.
Yeah.
And I would rather us develop better relationships and be more important to our clients so that they want to give us referrals, not we have to ask.
Yeah, so let's talk about some things that our listeners can do, a process or some steps to follow to help improve this return on relationship. As Ted Rubin has it trademarked, so I got to be careful. You know, I have to pay him every time I say that.
You do. Yeah, 3P, you got to pay
Actually,
Pat Riley.
He's paying me $10 every time I say it, right? Ted Rubin, ROI.
So I think the first thing maybe, and let's just assume that our listeners have sold something.
I'm assuming most of them have.
They have at least
That's
one
my
account.
Guess. Yeah.
And that the relationship is there and it's pieced together and it's not, you know, coming unglued. So I think the first thing is you have to check out in your own personality.
Absolutely.
You have to say, "What am I really good at this relationship game?" And some people aren't, and some people are.
Right.
And I don't think there's any shame either way, but I think you have to have an honest assessment about, am I more of a transactional person or am I more of a long-term relationship person?
Yep.
Like in our organization, Brooke is a very good relationship person.
Very good.
She's
very
also good with the transaction, but I think she gets more transactions because she just pays attention to people.
She really does.
Yeah.
Yep, she really does.
And we'll cut that out. We'll cut that out so Brooke never hears that because I don't want her.
Don't tell her. She'll get a big head because she's wired that way. What's her name again? Oh, I, on the other hand, need some help in that area. No. Very good. Now, let's talk about stage two now. So we had a first kind of do a self-assessment. You can give yourself a 1 to 10, like what kind of relationship person am I? The debate for us, I think, internally is still out on, is this a teachable thing? Is this a coachable, teachable? Can I become more relationship oriented or not? But a great start to say, gosh, I'm really wired to be transactional. How can I sort of backtrack or move back in this relationship thing? Once I've done that, now I'm going to move externally, and I'm going to really just take an inventory, right? And I'm going to write down and list all of the relationships that I have, not all of the transactions. So be careful not to just list everyone you've done business with, but the people that you would define by common terms to say, I've got a relationship with these people. We have good common dialogue. We talk fairly frequently. When we do talk, it's not just about some problem or issue at hand.
Right.
It's a little beyond maybe the scope of what just I do for them or with them. I might even know some family members and things. So just take an inventory and a list of who are all the people I have a relationship with will be stage step two there.
Okay. So we've done that. So then the next question is, I think it's always good to score those. So you're going to look at this in a list of 30 people, let's say. Some are going to be you're going to have better relationships with others.
Yeah.
Some of them might even lend themselves more to what we're talking about than others. I may have a great relationship with my daughter's 17-year-old friend, and we just love. We play cards. Every time she comes over, but that's not a person that I'm going to pursue for more business or anything.
Probably not.
No,
I hope
maybe
you
her dad.
Pursue your 17-year-old daughter's friend playing cards. Where's dad?
Mr. Kasky, where's your daughter?
He's down the basement playing euchre with Kendra. Like, oh my gosh, what?
Kendra,
it's a bad name.
It's a bad
anyway.
Name.
All right, so
score them.
Zero to ten.
Yep,
back of the napkin,
yep.
Sort of thing. Where is it? And then I think that to your point, you can start to see opportunity. So if I've got one that is 6, I think should be at an 8. I can start to proactively do some things to enhance or increase that relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next phase, now we're going to talk about some behavior. So what can we do to move that relationship score, if it is at a 6 or a 7, up to an 8 or 9 or a 10?
Okay.
All right? And we're going to stay away from here the proverbial, take them to a Pacer game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get some Colts tickets and go out and drink some beer. All right? It's not more about – it's a little bit deeper than that, let's say, shall we? Those things are good and they work and that's important, but we want to go a little bit above and beyond that. So,
but you'd be surprised at how often that becomes the default for let's build the relationship, let's go drink alcohol, or let's go to a game.
Yeah. Right. That's my default with my wife especially. When I'm trying to increase our relationship, we just go drinking and we forget how much we don't like each other. That's
oh,
so
God.
Not true. We love each other. Sorry.
Your
that
kids listen
funny.
To this podcast,
yeah, I know
too,
they
so
do.
She,
they do.
Therefore, ergo, she will. Anyway.
I know.
So what's one behavior? You mentioned it in the pre-show.
Yeah, so I think one thing to do is one of my clients does this really well, and another one is starting to have some sort of annual review process for really top good relationships. And in that review process, this isn't just about, well, here's what we've done for the year and what can we expect to do next year. This is about getting very definitive and very deep and having some potentially confrontative or tough conversations, maybe providing some very direct feedback that says, I really think when I look at our relationship going forward, you really need to do this, or you need to take that action, or you need to get rid of this person, or you need to make a decision here or a change or something. Things that are uncomfortable almost always strengthen a relationship.
Yeah.
Right? What happens after every time you have it, and you never do, I know, but anytime you have a knockdown drag out with your spouse, how do you come out on the other end? Almost always.
On the floor. She wins.
She's
standing above me.
I know. Well, she's playing more tennis now, so there you go. So.
That's right.
I just got you in trouble, didn't I?
I know.
Yeah. So you almost always come out stronger. So those points that are uncomfortable and anxious and, I don't want to talk about that, when you do, you always come out stronger
on
the other end.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's a really, really good thing to do.
But it can't be an attack. It's got to be really with the spirit of understanding some having a difficult conversation for the betterment.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got one here that I think we do a pretty good job of up front, especially in our world with working with organizations. And that is, go ask your relationships what some of their goals are.
Mm-hmm.
It could be life goals. It could be 90-day goals. It could be 1 year. You know, as you look, here we are starting off a new year. Maybe it's we're starting off a new year. And I always like to ask my clients and my friends and people I have good relationships with, what are you trying to accomplish this year? Because you never know when they will say something that you can actually help them with.
Yeah, no doubt.
Trying to find a new vendor for what you do. That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to find a new job, or my wife has a goal of something and maybe you can help them. So I think that answer, the question of what are your goals, and some people think that's prying. And you know what? I think if they don't want to tell you, they're not going to tell you. But I don't think it is.
I don't think it's prying at all. I think the person that asks those deep questions and the questions that make people squirm a little bit are typically the people that end up having really strong relationships.
Exactly.
Because they're the only ones that have the guts to go there with people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'll give one last one here that's fairly generic.
Well,
but I want you to think
one.
About it. Oh, you're my fault. Answer. Trying to hit the time mark here. Is be proactive with some idea or connection to somebody. Instead of waiting for someone, and it's great to go ask those things, but come with something that you've observed also to say, I'm going to bring an idea to you that I got from another client. I want you guys to consider this, or I'm going to connect you with this other person over here that runs this other company. I just think you two would really benefit from knowing each other.
I love that.
And I take some proactive stance without being asked to, or without any pain or problem given to me. I take the initiative to do that. Tells people, this person really gives a crap about me. They really does it make sense?
Perfect. Proactive. And I just used that today, and I didn't know what I was doing. Which
did
is
you really?
Pretty typical. One of our clients has these distributor people. They're all salespeople.
Yeah.
I say, why don't you take something that we're working on in our work and go give it to them each week? I mean, if he can't find four things a month and I'm not doing my job, he goes, I never thought about that. Well, here's salespeople. They want to grow their business.
Right.
You're getting access to what we think is a pretty good stuff.
Sure.
Why don't you just go and you can attribute it or not? You know,
don't.
So that's a good example of bring me an idea. I love that.
Bring me an idea. It's beautiful.
Good deal. All right. So we'd love to hear your feedback on that, and maybe some examples of how you have built your relationships, enhanced them, enriched them, made them deeper, made them broader.
Yep.
And it's really less about what am I getting out of it and more about are you paying attention to these?
It's very, very good. You can find us on LinkedIn at our LinkedIn group, Advanced Selling Podcast on LinkedIn. Link to us there.
We've got five.
You can also send us
a video or an audio. Two, yeah.
Oh, never
done. I'm interrupting him.
Knock, knock.
Yeah, go ahead. Video or audio about?
Oh, you can a video or audio about yourself or something about the podcast, and we'll be happy to put it on. So you can knock, knock.
Keep it less than 10 minutes, though.
I'm doing a knock,
who's
knock.
Who's there?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The interrupting cow.
The interrupting cow.
It's good. Interrupting.
See you next time.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.